Welcome, comrades, to our next episode of the Jackass Express. I'm your host, Jonathan.
I am Ariana Richards.
I'm Tip, I'm back.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Nick Riviera.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, how are you? How are you?
We have just received a letter from Matt Groen.
I know, it's like, well, now we need to cut a check.
All rights not reserved by me.
His attorneys move fast.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, Tip, it's great to have you back, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. Stupid. First, we decided to take our little break and then, you know, work.
And then stuff.
That pesky source of income.
Yeah.
Always getting in the way.
If only we could somehow turn this into a source of income. I'm talking to you, listeners.
Well, you know, we are trying to make t-shirts. And I think if we pump out some decent looking t-shirts, then I think that'll generate some buzz around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, it's just going to be a matter of whatever money that comes in is going to go towards production of everything. So it's not like we're going to retain any of that at the beginning. Yeah. So Tip will have to still work at the undisclosed location for a little bit longer.
Yeah. They make us wear crowns.
At Circle Y.
Yeah, unfortunately, all the money that we put into this is our own money.
Oh, Tip.
Actually, it's mostly Johnny's money, but that's okay.
Yo, Tip, I saw those crowns you were talking about.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad, man.
Yeah.
Why are you wearing crowns?
Because he works at what, Burger King?
No, well, that's what everyone thinks now. But because we sell our own brand of cigarettes.
Crown Royals?
And so we wear crowns.
Oh, my God.
To promote this brand of cigarettes. And I think I violated federal law yesterday by giving my crown to a, like, 3-year-old kid because he wanted it.
Here you go. Have a pack of cigarettes, too.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're being a nice guy. You're giving it to the little kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Look up, Johnny.
I think it
you didn't give him a cigarette.
The,
you just gave him
promoting,
a crown.
Promoting smoking to underage people.
Oh, I see.
So, but I don't know. We'll just, as long as no one comes after me, we're okay.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be okay.
As long as you don't, you know, admit it on a podcast where they can play it back over and over again, it should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I just...
Or anything like that.
Do you see that black van outside you?
That's why I got two big scary dogs.
Valcor.
There's several black vans competing for who's going to go inside to grab Tip.
Oh, wait. You said black vans. Oh. I thought I heard...
Wait,
there's a black man waiting outside for you. I was like, what?
He's a new representative to, what, Kools or something?
Newport, my friend.
Sorry, Newport. Menthols, right?
Yep.
We cannot get through one podcast without mentioning something that's semi-racist. It's terrible.
Oh, or, yeah. A lot of things.
Don't worry, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, we just started. We literally just started.
All right.
So,
now, Chase, you said you had a cool experience that you wanted to tell us about.
It's not really a cool experience. It's more of like an observation. And it's like, you know, we were talking about money to begin with. And I think one of the biggest observations I've made living in Taiwan as opposed like back when we were in America is how much shit people put up with here. Like, back home, if someone was antagonizing in any kind of way, like at the workplace or whatever, no one puts up with it, you know? You automatically hear someone raise, you know, a shitstorm about, oh my god, he just gave me hot coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And here, it's, you know, everyone's so afraid of confrontation that, or like, you know, just... they're so afraid of like making waves that they'll put up with anything. And it's gotten to the point where it's now being exploited on like just on a national scale. And I guess one example would probably be like, I guess like the wages here in Taiwan. And I think the way the wages are regulated is more beneficial to the company than it is to the actual employee. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, for example, back home, you know, we all have a standard minimum wage, and then a lot of companies are pretty much required, I don't know if they're like required to, but if you work overtime, then they should pay you, you know.
They're required.
Okay, so they are required to. All right, so they're required to pay you your regular, you know, salary plus half, right? Time and a half?
Yeah.
Right? Time and a half.
Yeah.
Well, like, here in Taiwan, they don't believe in that. Basically, they expect you to work overtime and don't pay you for it. Because the way they see it is that it's your responsibility to get this done. And if you have to work, you know, on your own time, then so be it. Because you're going to do it. So people just work, you know, retarded hours. Just like long, long hours. And they don't get fuck all for it, you know. And what's bullshit is that basically these companies are saving that money that they would have to pay you for overtime and pocketing it. And basically these companies are just getting richer and richer while, you know, you don't get anything out of it. You're basically indebted to them on your own time, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I can understand taking work home, then sure, of course you couldn't pay for that, right? Like, you know, you can't get paid for that if you take your work home. Because you're at home, it's on your own time, that's your responsibility. But if you're in the office working, you know, using their equipment and everything, then obviously you should be paid for it. But, like, really, unfortunately, like, you know, none of that is prevalent here. And it's what's really bad about it is that, yeah, I guess a lot of people are pissed off about it, but they don't want to lose their job because they know they can be easily be replaced by someone who's willing to put up with the same bullshit and still have a job.
Wow.
And that's the problem. It's like everyone here, doesn't matter what kind of job you have, whether you're an English teacher or fucking McDonald's or I don't care, you know, even like a graphic designer or something like that, you can easily be replaced by, you know, thousands of other people who want to have the same job. And they don't care about, you know, they're like, oh, well, sure, I'll work overtime for, you know, for nothing. Hell yeah. You know?
Wow.
And, you know, obviously, you know, labor unions don't exist over here. And, I mean, we've talked about that before. We're like, right now, I guess labor unions in the States is kind of a passe thing. It's, there's no need for labor unions.
Yeah, exactly. That actually goes and shows precisely that point that, you know, labor unions were set up to get these things, and in the States, we have them. Like, there's no need for a labor union. Now it's just the union's greed. Like, oh, we need more dues. We need more special rules. And you know, in countries such as Taiwan, they don't have them. And they're getting screwed. But,
well, you know. Because, like, all right, let's go back, like, in time. And, you know, when unions had to be made, right? Because when in the States, when like the industrialization of the United States was just a brand new thing, you know, we didn't have the kind of laws and regulations that we do now. And so having a union was essential. I mean, if you wanted any kind of equality, any kind of, like, you know, safety or, like, you know, just a peace of mind at the workplace, you had to have a union, you know? You just couldn't get around it. But over time, we had, like, unions fought for, you know, work equality and equal wages and all that shit. And eventually, over time, it got passed in the law. And so then there was no need for the unions. You don't need to have them anymore. But, like, right now in Taiwan, it's that same thing. They have, like, some, you know, laws regarding, you know, wages and, you know, the work hours and whatnot. But it's not all planned out yet. Like, it's not finalized. There's still a lot left to go over. And right now, people here just don't have, like, that fire inside to stand up and say, like, you know what? Fuck you. We're not taking this shit, you know? If you're going to, you know, make me work for you overtime, like, past my 40 hours, then you better goddamn pay me because I'm not working for free, you know? I have a family to feed. I have... You know, I have my own responsibilities, my own duties at home. How can you take me away from those, you know, those duties and responsibilities? And it's just the way people are brought up, like, you know, even like through education, the way people are brought up, they're just brought up not to question authority. They're brought up to just follow the leader and not make waves and just do your job, you know, get it done. I mean, I can understand, like, it's actually, you know, it can be a good work ethic, you know, just putting your head down to the grindstone and getting it done, right? I wish a lot of Americans would do that. But, like, there comes a point in time where you need to say, hey, you need to draw that line and say, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah,
I agree.
And, you know, it's just kind of interesting.
You know, here's the...
Now, are we...
On the opposite side of that... Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Oh, go ahead, Pat. I was just going to play a little bit of devil's advocate.
Okay, no, yeah.
I think me and Tip think very similarly here, because this is why. I made up my own words, similarly. Everybody write it down. See, where it gets confusing is that you get people stateside that, ironically, they fight for those same type of liberties and rights, but they don't work nearly as hard as the people in Taiwan or in other countries. But then they, you know, they're always bitching about how, oh, I'm not getting enough rights, oh, I'm not getting paid overtime. Or even worse is, oh, I don't care that I'm not getting more, but those really rich people, I don't think they should have that. So you need to take that away from them, because that's not... And I think that's where the confusion comes from, is that you get people who actually work hard and do deserve to be paid that overtime and compensated for their genuinely hard work. But then you get these crybabies that ruin it for everybody and make it sound like they're just complaining all the time. And
that's really nothing. The flip side of the coin, you know? I mean, there are those people that are hardworking, and there's a lot of hardworking people here, and they don't get their just dues. And on the other side, there's a lot of loafers and slackers who just ride the wave and, you know, just take it easy, you know, take it easy, Brandon. Right?
Yeah. I just blame Brandon.
But it's like, okay, I understand what you're saying and how from your viewpoint you see it this way. And but what I've been going over a lot of right now is it you and us as Americans, as Western society, that's imposing our beliefs on the rest of the world and forcing the rest of the world to change to us? I mean, it's kind of like the whole child labor thing. We hear child labor, and in the States or Western Europe, we're just appalled.
Right.
We're like, why are kids working, not going to school? What the hell is this? We got to stop it. But we don't take a minute to look and be like, well, in many of these third world countries, especially in Africa, this child may be the sole breadwinner for the family. And I'm not picking on Africa because I think they're inferior. It's just they have a problem with disease and many times
and poverty.
This 9-year-old kid is becoming a parent at 9 years old to his 4-year-old brother and sister.
Right, exactly, yep.
So like we go and we're like, oh, screw child labor. We don't need it. And we don't think that, okay, these kids could be the sole breadwinners for the family. And then if they're not making money at this factory, they're going to go to another factory, or worse, they're going to go into the drug or prostitution route. And we have this ideal that I think as Western society in general, we try to impose on the rest of the world. And the countries that are more Western than others, like Taiwan or Japan or something, I mean, sure, they still got their own culture and their own belief system. But trying to integrate the Western thought or what Western companies want or what Western culture says kind of it gets them in a catch-22 kind of.
Right. Saying like, you know, if, well, then they, you know, they kind of break away from their culture if they, you know, start to embrace his culture, right? And, well, you know, yeah, that's a valid point. But at the same time, I think, you know, you can still retain the traditions and the cultural beliefs that you have while still, you know, adapting practices, like, especially like in the business world, you know, because if you think about it, in the business world, you can't really hold on to traditions. I mean, it really has to be black
that.
And white, like almost just cutthroat, because that's what corporations are. It's cutthroat. And there's no room for being traditional and having sticking to those traditions. And, like...
There's...
Go on.
Oh, no, no, I'm agreeing okay. with you. Keep going.
Well, okay, so, I mean, it's just... There's some traditions that is just counterproductive. I mean, in this day and age, for sure, it's, like, counterproductive. I mean, I understand it's great to have, like, respect for your elders, and it's great to, you know, to know, like, your place within society and, like, the hierarchy or whatever. But then, you know, there's also that time where not every decision that the people older than you make are the right ones, you know? It's kind of like that whole thing in the military, obeying, you know, they always say, like, oh, I was just following orders. But where do you draw that line, or when, you know, when ridiculous orders aren't meant to be followed?
Yeah. Like the movie with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks a lot,
yeah,
Pat.
Yeah, yeah. Waiter.
You can't handle the truth. I'm sorry, but, you know, yeah. I'm going to have to provide a corporate dictionary in the link dump so people can understand some of these phrases.
Well, it's like...
No, but, you know, I was just saying that you make a very valid point, Chase. You do make a very valid point, and I think that that's important for people to be aware of that, or in nothing else, to be a little bit more appreciative of the work that they have here stateside, and maybe pull their head out of their politics, if you will, and start, you know, being more appreciative for these little liberties that, you know, not a lot of people get.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more easier to move the switch over here than it is over there, where it's not encouraged and you don't have the backing from anyone, virtually.
Yeah. And, like, the one thing I think Taiwan has going for it is that it's a fairly small country. And for the States, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed back home. And it's just so hard.
Nothing needs to be fixed in the States. Don't you ever say
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, anyways, it's just so hard to mobilize that many people to, like, all fight for, like, a common cause, like a common goal. Because there's just too many trains of thought, too many different, you know, ideas and everything like that. And it's really hard to kind of get a cohesive understanding with a lot, you know, with a lot of Americans on behind one goal, and to actually get it passed, you know, to actually run with it and follow through. But, like, with Taiwan being, like, such a small country, it would be so easy to mobilize and to just educate and to get people fired up about this, you know, to just realize, hey, man, we can get this done. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we have broken politics system here too. Our government here in Taiwan, it's all about money and power, you know? These guys who are in politics, I don't think have ever worked, like, a hard day's work.
Well,
you know?
that's how it is.
That's how it is everywhere. Of course it is. But
politics is all money and power and who they can control.
Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no. I was just going to try and make that go further than it was supposed to.
I was going to ask you, Chase, that in Taiwan, let me ask you, or any place for that matter, if you work overtime and you're saying that you should be get paid time and a half for that, do you feel that's an ethical decision? Is that an unethical decision? Does it matter? Or what do you feel that is? I mean, do you feel as an American people should be paid for that time? Or how do you feel about at least people working off? And that'll lead me into my next topic about it.
Okay, well, I believe that you should definitely be paid for the time spent working for any company, you know, because basically in the end, your work becomes their product.
Yeah.
And because of that, you should be compensated. And I think, you know, you're allotted under contract, you know, 40 hours a week, right? And if you go over those 40 hours, then that's technically your time that you're giving to the company. I mean, you've already given 40 hours. You've stipulated and you signed a contract saying, I will give you 40 hours of my time to do work for you. But any more than that, then you definitely have to pay me, because technically that's not what is on my contract, right?
And, you know,
contracts are a binding thing, obviously. And yeah. I would only see it fair that you'd be paid, you know, your usual time and then a half. Because this time it's like a personal sacrifice and not an obligated sacrifice.
But see, like you said right there, it's a personal sacrifice, because aren't most Asian countries, like let's say Taiwan and even Japan, aren't they collective cultures? Don't they feel like what's best for the company as a whole, what's best for the team? So let's say there is a decision that they have to make that's unethical, to where you will have to work overtime. That it doesn't matter if they have to make an unethical decision or you have to work overtime, as long as it benefits everybody, they don't care. Not like in, you know, the U.S., it's, hey, I'm on the clock, this is what I signed, and this is all you're going to get if I have to work over. Because isn't the U.S. more of like an individualistic kind of culture?
For sure, for sure. I mean, the U.S. is definitely very, very individualistic. I mean, we're taught in elementary and, like, you know, middle school and high school to be creative, to try and think outside the box. And, you know, sometimes you have, like, those really awesome teachers where they, you know, they push you to start thinking for yourself and to really question authority. But like the way it is in Asia, it's like, yeah, you do everything for the common good. Like, you know, you do it for the family, you do whatever's best for the company. And yeah, that mentality is definitely prevalent. And that's what it is. A lot of that mentality is that, like, you know, this is for the company. This is for, you know, if the company does well, then, you know, that means I'm doing my job. But I think a lot of people end up realizing, though, too, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, man, I'm tired. You know, I didn't get to see my family. I don't get to see my wife, my kids. I don't get to see my parents or whatever, right? And then they start to realize what this sacrifice, this personal sacrifice, is really costing them. But there's no way out of it, you know? And then
exactly.
In the end, even though the company prospers or, you know, gets something great, they don't get anything for it. They don't even get a congratulations. They're like, okay, here's your next project. That's exactly what it is. I mean, there's nothing like, oh, awesome job, guys. You know, we pulled an all-nighter and we did it. Now it's like, okay, we finished that project. Here's our next one. It's due in 2 weeks. Get it done.
Wow. And you say you're realizing this because you come from a Western society type of culture, and you're noticing this because of the way they're running things. Because just to me, the way I see it, and I'm just pointing this out, that sometimes collective cultures and individualistic cultures, they have the pros and cons. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're both just as bad and both just as good. But I also feel like the people of, let's say, I'm not saying Taiwan specifically, but people that have the collective culture, they're kind of brought up, especially in Asia, they're kind of brought up, like you said, with that if they have to make an unethical decision, people are more willing to do it to benefit the company and are less likely to basically openly question an unethical decision that the company is making. You know what I'm saying? So they have to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing in the military. I mean, a lot of people follow orders. That's obviously unethical, and it gets done. Case in point, what happened in, you know, in World War II with the Nazis. Those guys who say, oh, yeah, we're just following orders or whatever. And, I mean, it was obviously unethical and just inhuman what they're doing, and yet they still did it anyways. It all depends on, like, I guess, like, the situation and just the upbringing and, like, the kind of conditioning that you've gone through to make you make those kind of decisions, you know?
That's true.
Well, yeah, and I think another thing that could play into this is, from what I understand and what I've studied and read, is many people, when they get jobs in Taiwan or these collective countries, is those jobs are pretty much for life.
Yep.
The company assumes, like, a parental role, and they don't have other companies going in and being like, hey, why don't you come over here? We'll pay you this.
Yeah, there's no competition here.
It's just this unwritten rule. And in America, or and Western societies, there is competition. You get a job, and you know it's until you pass someone up and do better, or you fuck up and you're out.
Yep.
There's no, like, paternal characteristics, no family aspect to the company.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure, there are some companies where the culture of the company is, oh yeah, we're here to help each other, here to work together. But still, when it cut and dry, it's a business. And that's how it's seen in America, is we need to do the best for us. And by having these competitions, I think it kind of gives more towards the, well, okay, you need these, and you need these different benefits. Because you have people fighting for the best talent.
Exactly. And that's the thing, though. Like, that's what's happening here, is that there's really no intercorporation like competitions like between company, they're not offering benefits, like better benefits to other, you know, potential employees to get them to work for them. Basically, they just want bodies to do the work. You know, they don't make any incentives because they know, well, if you don't want it, then I know this guy behind you will, and he's willing to work for less, or the pay that we're providing.
I think you just completely described all of McDonald's corporate business model.
Actually, that business model is probably, I think it's Walmart's. Or
Walmart's. Oh, there you go.
Everyone there, they're not allowed. They do not employ full-time employees. Everyone there is part-time. You could have worked there for like 7 years, but you're still considered part-time. The reason why is that they don't want to pay for benefits. They don't want to pay for health care. They don't want to pay for insurance. They don't want to pay for anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, yeah, all right,
these guys, this has been a
Walmart,
really
man.
Good topic.
Like the ultimate machine there. It's like, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get off of this because we'll be on here forever.
I told you, man. It's like, I've been holding this inside for like a week.
Well, you know, I think we should cover at least a little bit of this, like maybe in next week's podcast also, because this is a good topic. I just don't want to drag people out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure, you know.
Just wait till
no, but you
Taiwan
make a very
when they
good
have to
point.
Wear gold crowns.
And that's tip working for the men right there, for the corporation, you know? They don't give them shit for it either.
Yeah.
But you know,
I have a.
I'm doing it because I see a way out, and it's December 2012. Not the Mayan end of the year. That's when I graduate school. So
yay, tip.
I'm gone. I'll be finding something else that I don't have to wear a gold crown at. I may wear the crown for fun, but
oh, like in the bedroom, tip.
Yes.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I just remembered is that I didn't get to cue it up as a soundbite.
Companies want to see where they can get, and on that, I'll leave it.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to cue it up as a soundbite yet, but Tip, did you hear the catchphrase that Josh made for you last week? By any chance?
No.
No, of course not, because we didn't release episode 8 yet. Or episode 10. 10. No. Oh, this is 10.
Nine. We're working on 10.
What are you talking about? Everything
That's
came out of regular pay schedule.
This break has destroyed our... episode 9. We have not yet released episode 9. It'll come out shortly, I think. Probably sometime tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah. Yes, if the upload systems will behave, and I don't want to call out any more names of people that are trying to help post our podcast, so I'm just not going to say anything this time. I'm a very impatient person.
And I'll definitely try to get this pumped out by Wednesday. So people can start listening to it before next Saturday.
Yeah.
He said pumped
Hopefully
out.
After. What's my catchphrase?
Oh.
Chase, would you tell him?
Oh, what is it?
Oh, I thought you had it. Do you have a soundbite, Pat?
I don't have a cue, that's why, but I could try to make it
save it for our viewers.
Well, here, how about this? How about we take a break, listen to a sponsor or something, and then when we come back, we have the soundbite ready.
All right, it's actually time for a break time anyways.
Okay, well then I'm going to play the regular promo, but everybody pretend that it's a brand new awesome one, okay? Here we go.
Welcome to the Jackass Express. Tune in to listen to all your favorites. Chase.
Drinking a beer at 9 in the morning is okay.
Tim.
No, you are the most egregious of the offenders.
Johnny.
If you puke in my car, I'll kick your ass out.
Pat. It was the most difficult journey to the restroom I have ever faced.
Brandon.
First thing we do is we wander around Bourbon Street a little bit, and then we're like, well, shit, we're in New Orleans. We better start drinking, huh?
And hopefully someday, Julie.
Once again, can't defend yourself.
That's why he's got to come on to the podcast and say his piece.
Make sure to visit us at jackassexpress.blogspot.com or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/jackassexpress.
Okay, welcome back. And
so that was the most awesome promo we ever had. Well, clearly I don't. But what we could do.
It's the only one.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell Tip what his new catchphrase. Okay. Tip, our brand new Jackass Express T-shirt is going to be, "Hey, bitch, I'm Tip."
That fits right into my line of what I've been doing lately. I make a list of things I need to do every day. So on this list, I've decided, well, how can I make the list make me a better person? Like, what can I do every day to make me a better person? Community service? Ooh. No. Helping people?
No.
So what I wrote at the top of my list to make me a better person every day is be awesome.
Hey. Yeah.
So that's every day right. I look at my list and I see be awesome, and that's the first thing I have to accomplish every day. So
now I know what's going to go on the back of the shirt.
Be awesome.
It'll be a list 1 through 10, and then number one will just be awesome, and the rest will be blank.
I like that. So what have you guys all been up to this past, well, since I've been gone?
We'll start off with Patrick.
Well, oh, yeah.
Have you guys been able to breathe for the first time?
Breathe?
Since what?
Okay. Apparently, I'm the only one that's ever heard a Kelly Clarkson song on this podcast.
Who?
Oh. Like, what? Yeah, since I've been gone. Or since you've been gone.
You can breathe for the first time. Yeah.
Oh, God. Did we really just have a Kelly Clarkson reference on the podcast?
I'm lost. Yeah, I have no
idea. Yeah, I'm kind of not following here. It's okay.
This isn't gonna work.
Yeah. Well, look, let me. Let's move on. How was everybody's Valentine's Day?
Disengage.
God, why would you have to bring that up, man?
Yeah, Pat, that's not very nice, Pat.
You know, I can't stand Valentine's
I'm sorry. Look. Oh, boy.
It is such a fucking sham.
Yep.
Well, someone needs to move to Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
Where they cancel it,
right? Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? Why should we have one day where we have to show, like, oh, I love you, baby, I love you, you know? It's like, it's expected, you know? It's every girl expects something to happen. And if nothing does happen, then you're like, you're a fucking douchebag. But the real romance...
That's why, guys, I'm going to start selling something in the Jackass Express store when we ever get that up. Fake flower receipts for when you forget. A $1 donation, you print out a fake receipt, you show it to your girlfriend, be like, see, they just didn't deliver, baby.
It got lost or something.
Problem solved.
Nice.
And at the top it says Jackass Express.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah.
Wow, Tip.
But
yay, who taught you to think outside the box?
Business school taught me.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like the purpose of being romantic is being spontaneous, you know? If they don't expect it, then they're surprised. But like, when it's expected of you, then it's like you're just kind of caving into the commercialization of Valentine's Day.
Wow, yeah. Yeah. I agree with Chase 100%.
I do agree. I will point out, though, that he has just given the one argument, and if you were to say that to a girl, she's just going to say, well, that's just what people who forget say.
No, I don't forget that shit. It's, I mean,
I'm just...
Yeah, I know, right? I'm just I know telling exactly. You what that's the... exactly what they would say. But like, and actually, one of my friends is saying, like, you know, it's the one day which the people who do forget about being romantic will be romantic on that day. And, you know, unfortunately, that just means, like, you know, you're comfortable in a relationship and you're kind of taking things for granted. That's a lot of other issues right there. Yeah. But anyways, like, what's kind of interesting is that in Asia, they actually have a Valentine's Day for men, too. It's called, like, White Day. And on White Day is where...
Sounds kind of racist.
On White Day is where the girl shows the appreciation to the guy about, you know, what he does for her and all that other...
In Iran, that's called every day. Iran and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. But enough about that, yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing, is that, like, Conan made this one joke that said that most guys will spend up to, or all the guys in the U.S. will spend up to, like, $40 billion on flowers for Valentine's Day. and Morgan, all the guys who forgot about Valentine's Day. Well, I mean, I'm just being facetious. But that all the guys forgot about Valentine's Day will spend up to $100 billion this year.
$100 billion?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a joke. That's the thing. It's just, it means that typically guys who forget to give them something during Valentine's Day typically pay more in the long run trying to make up for the fact that they forgot about Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Coco.
Funny joke was not funny. Or not funny joke was not funny. Well, you know what? That actually brings me up to a very interesting topic I wanted to talk to you guys about, because this has been driving me nuts. This new internet meme that has recently come out, and it's all over Facebook right now. It's this thing where people write their job description, and then they're like, how other people see me, and then how my mom sees me, how my cat sees me, and then how it really is. And, like, and it was how funny I see the first couple of times.
Yeah, how it really is.
Yeah. And that was really funny the first couple of times, but now it is just so annoying and poorly made. It's just
everywhere. It like flooded. At first I thought, I was like, oh, this is like one of those things. Like, it'll happen one time and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? But suddenly,
I knew
it's for every fucking job out there.
I knew it was bad when I saw one for El Paso.
Yeah, I did see that.
There you go.
I knew it was worse when I saw one for industrial engineering.
Oh, boy.
I saw one for, what was it, the guys who run prescriptions, pharmacists.
Pharmacist.
Yeah, pharmacists. I saw one for pharmacists.
Street doctor?
Yeah. But you know what? See, this raises my point, is that how unbelievably unoriginal are people, because they latch onto the thing that, you know, a lot of people laugh at, and then they just try to copy it. You know, and instead of coming up with something brand new and fresh, they just say, oh, well, I could do my, you know.
Well, look at today's music industry. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Look at all that shit that's been
spewed out. And not only that, you know, I looked at the one for El Paso, and they said what other people think when I say El Paso, and it's like this huge party. That's not what people think when they say El Paso.
They think of gunfights from Juarez.
Or old El Paso salsa, or
old El Paso salsa.
Well, that's almost why we didn't get Notre Dame to come play at the Sun Bowl, because they were afraid that something was going to happen. It was like, well, that's nowhere near us. I mean, yeah, it's across the street, but
it's nowhere near us. It's just, you know, this university got shot up.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you'd have to have the worst luck in the world to do that. But you know, as far as internet memes go, because this is. Yeah, it's just become one of the more annoying ones lately.
Stephen Hawking was trying to bring bandwagons on.
I thought you did there, Chase. I thought Chase did there.
Oh, God. But, you know, it's the same thing that happened with Brandon. You know, his audio was coming in all broken and stupid, but when I actually heard it on the actual recording in the cast, it was crystal clear. So we're just laughing for no apparent reason, you know.
But can you guys hear me?
What I get into about that was like, we can hear you. Yeah, we can definitely hear you now. But I think it kind of goes back to that old saying, like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, kind of deal. And a lot of people are like, oh man, that's a good idea. Let's just latch on to that.
But it wasn't a good idea. It was a bad
idea. It really was a bad idea.
And it's broke. Let's just keep using it the same way anyways. That's what it is.
Well, because you know what ends up happening is that you saturate it. And then it gets so mundane and so repetitive that the first one's not even funny anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I did see the Star Wars one, and that one was actually mildly entertaining. The one with the stormtrooper.
Are we gonna have to track down all these pictures?
That one could be easy to find.
Yeah,
but anyways,
I was about to say the.
But like, really, that could be said about anything though in culture, in modern culture, like, you know, any kind of pop culture, I should say. You know, case in point, today's music. I think music really hasn't progressed since, you know, I would say 1999. you know?
Yeah.
It kind of died after that.
I disagree. Have you heard Skrillex?
No.
I'm just kidding. That is the worst possible
genre.
I don't understand what dubstep is.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about dubstep. I was like, are you talking about dubstep? Yeah, but dubstep has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, this guy Skrillex, everyone's like, oh, Skrillex, blah, 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 blah. He's so awesome. And you know what? He sucked when he was the lead singer from First to Last, and he sucks now. So, I don't get it.
Yeah, kind of like, also, like, you know, Justin Bieber, too.
Well, you don't need
to
pull any punches there.
Yeah. Oh, man, I hate Justin Bieber.
God, it's so bad. And it's like, the music, the lyrics that he comes up with is retarded. You know, musicians and minstrels, you know, in our time, can make really good love songs. Can, like, make love songs actually have meaning and, you know, actually, like, thought and everything. But his...
You can feel the emotion.
Yeah, but his crap is just so shit.
When you have in your love song... When you have in your love song, hey, girl, I'll tweet you or something like that. I don't know the exact wording. But... When you say I'll tweet you in a love song, you've got problems.
Yeah,
it sounds like another word for having sex.
Yes, but it's not. It's for
tweeting.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I believe the Jackass Express has a Twitter.
We do.
Yes, we do. We sure do.
It's never being used. I never see. Yeah. I never see the hashtag on Facebook or anything like that.
Well,
it's because we need to have new content.
Oh, okay.
In order to report on it.
Yeah, we need to have content to tweet. And listeners need to hashtag us to get us trending.
Okay.
The listeners need to get us trending, not us. That'd just be mindless self-promotion.
Who said that's bad?
I'll tell you this, though.
What?
I'll tell you this. If we get 100 followers on our Twitter, I will do something very, very special for one of the podcasts.
Ooh.
But we must get to at least 100 followers on our Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah. But, you know, it's going to be a special audio kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Until we do a video podcast.
We do still have to do the... it's not a video podcast. It's just a video segment.
Oh, okay. That's right.
The submission challenge. And I believe we have one coming up. We just need to get the logistics worked out. And people will be very pleased with this, I think.
You want to...
I already have Tip Station for the fan challenge set up, and I'll post a picture of it.
Is this our original
and
fan challenge?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
So we just got to actually do it.
Right, exactly. Just
get
it done.
Just like setting up our Twitter.
We have it all in, like, all the pre-stuff is ready, all the preparation. We just haven't done it.
The story of my life.
Yes.
Everything's all set up, you know, just getting around to doing it.
Yep. It's like I got a letter in the mail from the state of Texas telling me I need to get my car inspected within 45 days of the date on the letter.
Oh boy.
Okay, I understand. I bought all the pieces to repair my car. I just haven't done it yet.
Oh, man. Yeah, that needs to get done.
Yeah. Or if anyone would like to buy a 1999 Saturn SC2, $1,500, let me know.
No.
I am so glad that you said the name of that car, because now I can find the real picture of it. Because I think last time we referenced your car.
We were talking about this in our last episode. We totally talked about, like, how much of a shit car you have. And I think anyone who listens to the previous one will understand to stay away from this car and not even touch it with a stick, you know?
All of you who haven't listened to the last podcast, please don't.
Now I have to make a sound clip of that specific segment and make it available for rapid download. But what I was going to say is, I know we were talking.
He's making
a
sound
clip
about something for rapid download.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay?
Maybe.
Here?
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
I'm sorry. I don't know what's like causing that. It may be an internet lag. Yeah.
You're using Verizon. Apparently.
I just need to get a better internet connection.
You're using
Check
Verizon.
Check the microwave.
No, I was just going to say that.
Turning it on and off again.
Patrick, is April heating up whatever smart ones?
That does solve
ones?
Most problems. Oh, God, Johnny.
Sorry.
Don't start.
Because you get mad at me. You get mad every time she lights one of those things up, so I'm just saying.
What? April's lighting up?
Oh, don't throw it on me. It's not a cigarette.
That's what they all say.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's not a problem until it is.
It's a TV dinner,
She's
basically.
Smoking TV
it's a
dinners?
Frozen dinner.
Do we need to take April to Dr. Drew?
You know, she microwaves it, and then she kind of like just opens it up and smells it the whole time. Oh, smell that broccoli.
I am going to get in so much trouble because of you jokers. Thanks.
Yeah, that's the woes of being married.
Yeah, Pat. Yep. Sometimes you gotta just roll it up and smoke it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Johnny, you've just taken that plunge too.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know,
okay.
Oh yeah.
You know, for our listeners out there, Johnny has indeed asked the question, and she did say reluctantly yes.
Yay! Woo!
And don't kid yourself. Most women reluctantly say yes. They're like, "Do I want to put on this shackle?"
It's like, well,
shackle.
I paid
but
my
hey,
dues.
It's so sparkly. I want to wear the sparkly thing.
I'm uploading something to the Dropbox right now under the pictures folder.
Okay.
This is what I committed my life to.
Oh boy.
To be prepared for the shitstorm. Motivation.
That's a good.
While Tip is loading that, I have a topic that I wanted to bring up today, and it doesn't last that long. I just wanted a little comments on each of the section. Do you guys have time? Patrick, do we have time to do this?
Okay, put it up.
Yeah,
it's
we got about
KQOOB.
Okay,
hold on. Let's see what Tip's got going on here.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
KQOOB.
What is this?
Cocoon.
Oh, that is sweet.
It's a pizza.
That's disgusting.
What? Holy shit!
Oh.
Where did
my
you get that?
God.
I just saw it right now, and I want
I was like, do they that sell that at Circle K now?
Pizza. It comes with a free crown.
I think I've seen that somewhere.
They're apparently huge in Japan.
Yeah. You know, I think I've seen that around here, too, pizza cones, but it never looked that good.
Yeah, I know. It comes with a free Froger.
Yeah.
But it's also cursed.
But you can have your choice of topping.
God.
Which is also cursed.
Which has benzo, I don't know, anyway. All right.
Anyways.
Let me get this topic out of the way. Okay. As you all know, yes, I did propose, and she said yes. It's a good time, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I did this yesterday, as a matter of fact, the 17th of February. So that's pretty nice. But, as y'all do know,
I was there,
is that Valentine's Day was just this week. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people,
yes,
for some reason, I don't know what it is, I don't know if it's society, but I have a couple articles I want to talk about. They're basically the 10 reasons why you should absolutely not propose on Valentine's Day. And I want to see if y'all agree with me. First of all, is it a cliche?
It.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Right? I mean, think about it. Everybody's like, okay, well, you know, they're thinking, okay, well, this is what everybody should do, right? Because it's, you know, love day or whatever the frick it is. Also, is it uninspired?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, I think it's also, does anybody think it's also unforgettable, whether it goes good or bad, right?
Yeah, she says
it's unforgettable in a bad way.
It's unforgettable that if she says, hey, you know what, no, I don't want to marry you. Every single Valentine's Day.
You're always going to remember
that. You're always going to remember that, yeah. Every Valentine's Day, it's going to be that over your head. You're like, fuck.
Yeah, even if you guys do end up getting married and you stay together, you're just going to look at her every Valentine's Day being, hey, remember when you told me no?
Yep.
Not harboring any ill feelings here.
Also,
we've all been
it's
there.
Also a headache waiting to happen. I mean, because think about it. Once you ask, you know, you're like, the first thing that she's going to want to do from Valentine's Day on, and it always happens every Valentine's Day, she wants to start planning the wedding right then and there. She'll want to talk about centerpieces and floral arrangements, and that's the last thing you want to be talking about. especially if it's just an impulse type of, proposal.
Yep.
Think it's, also they have, it's very tiring because, usually that time everybody congratulates you and, they're saying good job and all that stuff, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But if you're rejected, you'd probably be crying yourself to sleep that night.
For sure.
Yep.
And that pretty much ends the relationship right there,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yes.
If she says no, that the relationship's over.
Also,
which is so ironic.
Three more, and I'll be done with this, I
Go
swear.
Ahead, I'm
three
sorry.
More. It's very fleeting. Are you telling me you're the only guy that has the original idea to propose to her on Valentine's Day? Everybody and their grandmother's going to be doing that. I think it's ridiculous.
Wasn't that, rule number, two or something like that?
Rule number two is basically it's just uninspired. It's just,
it's
expected. So, it's kind of like some people think it's not.
Everyone's done it, it's uninspired.
Exactly.
This list seems to be a little uninspired if it has the same thing twice.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I was like, the last two, and that's it, is, first of all, the most important thing is you're helping stores. Think about it. Every time, when Valentine's Day comes around, there's so much pressure on a guy to buy her shit. The last one is it's expensive. It's kind of the same thing. All this money that goes into it, for what? Realistically, for a corporate greed holiday that just because there's a gap between Christmas and Easter? Is that what it is? Does anybody know?
Right.
I think it's ridiculous.
It's Christmas and Easter.
And any holiday.
This is what I think.
Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't say it's a holiday. I think in the beginning it was a good, idea before corporations took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an interesting idea.
When St. Valentine himself decided, hey, let's do this.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's make some money.
Well, there is a very important holiday between Valentine's Day and Wanza. Easter. you realize
it. No, that's
Is it after Easter? I think it might be after Easter. I'm not sure. On March 17th? Is my favorite day of all time.
No, that's before Easter.
Yeah, it's before Easter.
Very good.
Wow. That's before.
Nice job, Pat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm.
If you guys are unaware of this, it is St. Patrick's Day. Oh, yeah.
But, Johnny, I think also you're kind of setting yourself up to pay more than what you have to.
Exactly. I agree with
because
you.
Because everything around Valentine's Day becomes
marked up. I just put what I think
up,
about Valentine's
you know?
Day
yeah.
up on
it's absolutely,
the
It's absurdly marked up, Chase. I agree with you 100%.
If anything, you should probably wait till almost the day or two after Valentine's Day because then all that chocolate and everything goes on sale. Holy crap.
I love it. That is cool tip. I really like
you
that.
You know, Chase, I agree with you because it's just what doesn't make any sense to me is why that day? Like you said, out of all the days that you could be showing affection and love, why is it chosen that day? And what I don't like is, if you remember back in the high school, and it even happens in the workplace when you get older, that day that if you don't provide flowers or if you don't – even if you provide flowers, if the girl next to her has a bigger bouquet of
the
flowers –
The chocolates and all that crap.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
Automatically, your gift becomes null and void, and you're looked at as the cheapest ass that's ever existed. I was like, why should why should one day bring so much misery to a lot of people, especially the people that don't have anybody? That doesn't make any
sense. Escalation.
Exactly.
All escalation. It reminds me of homecoming week with all those damn mums.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that bullshit?
That was stupid.
You had fucking girls with huge mums that trailed on the floor and you're like, holy Jesus, what the hell was that? It was ridiculous. Yep. I can't believe these girls actually love to wear that shit around school. Like, oh my God, look how much my boyfriend loves
think
me.
I think it goes to people's inherent need to show off and be better than other people. I don't care.
So it's kind of like natural selection.
Or collectivist or whatever you are. Yeah, you like status. And I think everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
Even those I'm so communist, I'm for everybody. But they have to be more for everybody than everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Else.
Like, they have to be more communist than that other guy, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, no, you don't. If you were really following your ideals, you'd be helping that guy be better than you.
Yeah.
And
yep.
It's, I don't know. It's just something I see. It's the human condition. We have to have this status. I don't care what anyone says. We need to have status. It's an inherent need in ourselves. No,
Well, I mean, if you look at animals in nature, what do? Whenever they find the female, they boast themselves up. They stick their chest out, and you know they do all these things to show that they're the better choice and all that sort of deal.
You know, it's like
humans just use money instead of muscle.
You can kind of you can probably equate that to like you know in our genes, you know, like the way we've been kind of predisposed to kind of try to make ourselves better than the other person out there, to be like a better catch, or to like you know,
yeah,
to be to have a better chance of propagating, you know, your genes to you know future generations to come. That in a way, I think it's kind of hard to get it over. I mean, I admit it. I'm definitely like I'm definitely into like the status symbols, whether it's like guitars or you know anything like
bottle
that. Bottle caps.
I am. I'll admit it too. You know, it's obviously not cars, but there's certain things where I think I need to have the best of, or maybe not the best of, but the most of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me at work. You know, it's Valentine's Day, and you know, of course, everybody's dropping off flowers to everybody and all that nonsense, and I'm there, you know, looking outside the office window, and then I see this, I think it's Audi, whatever they call it. It, like, it drives up, and it backs up into a space, and this jackass of a guy pops out, and he pulls out, you know, a balloon, and he puts a bow on top of the car, and, you know, he's waiting for, I guess, like, his girlfriend or his wife, I don't know who the hell it is, to come outside.
Probably a girl.
He bought her an Audi.
Yeah, he bought her an Audi. So she came downstairs and she saw it, and we're expecting, you know, I'll be honest with you. You see all the commercials, and I kind of picture myself, if someone had bought me a car, I'd be ecstatic. Because it'd be like, whoa, that's amazing. But when she came out, she's like, oh, wow, thank you. Like another pair of shoes. Oh, I guess I'll take that out maybe Saturday. Like she,
you know what it is? It's because she had probably told him, hey, break up with your wife, divorce her, and marry me. That's what I want for Valentine's Day. And this guy's like, no, I'll just buy you a car and we'll be done with it. Because if he's buying cars like that all willy-nilly, it seems like a guy that has
stuff to
hide.
Yeah. You know what? That's something that I think we should say to all our female listeners, if we do have female listeners, is that if a guy buys you a car as a way of saying he's sorry, he's not really sorry. just as an idea that, like, what was it that there was this person that I knew that they were having a big old fight with their spouse or whatever, and I mean it was on the verge of divorce. I mean they were going to cut it off, and then the guy goes out and buys a brand new car, mind you, and then gives it to her, and then suddenly that fixes everything. I don't understand
that. Just
that
glosses over the problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's and misdirection. That's what it is.
Yeah, the fight will come back up.
Especially when they have that car payment.
And
Yeah. But yeah.
And you probably traded in their old car that they probably liked.
You know, it's like magicians. Like, you know, it's all about misdirection. You look one way, and then the magic happens the other way, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing, you're fighting about him cheating on you, and all of a sudden, the next, oh my God, is that a Porsche? You know?
Yep.
Wow, is that a Canyonero?
You know, kind of goes.
See, I'm the type of guy that after the fight, I would go out and buy this real expensive car
for myself
and bring it home with a bow on it, and then walk inside and go, "Hey, baby, look what I bought myself."
Yeah, exactly. Nice. It's like, check out what I just bought.
I was so depressed. Make me a sandwich. I had to buy myself a car.
Exactly. And you know what? It's funny because it's kind of the same thing, and I'm not trying to diminish it, with most women and the proposal, because they have the guy get down on one knee and they pull out the big shiny ring And maybe all their inhibitions, like, disappear, and they're thinking, well, do I really want to marry this guy? Because I really want that shiny ring.
To show off to my friends.
And it would look awesome to show everybody and to tell all my friends and to post it on Facebook and on Twitter and show, look, I got a big shiny thing. So it's kind of strange how buying someone a gift
like
that works.
Yeah, I also think that women, just like men, women probably won't admit to it as much. But I think women do care about status to themselves.
Oh, of course they do.
Yep.
Of course. I mean, they're always competing with each other. I mean, they're like, who has the better hair? Who has the better makeup? And it's all that cultural bullshit that they put themselves through.
They talk about each other behind their backs like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
They'll stab each other in the back.
Some of the stuff they say makes me sad to be human.
Yeah.
It's how could it be so, I don't know. Yep. I just hate all that bullshit on Facebook that's like, oh, my boyfriend is the greatest, my husband is the greatest, but he, you know, beat my kids. I mean, it's just all this shit I don't understand. And like I said, guys are just as bad, but girls won't admit it, but they are very status-oriented completely.
Well, you know what? The educated ones will admit it. I think that if you find a certain level of maturity in a woman, they'll admit that there is that weird little thing that they have. And ironically, it's because all of them are so insecure. Yep. About how they look. So they're constantly judging everybody else, and then they know the other girl's probably judging them.
Yeah. You know, if people would just listen to our podcast, we could solve all the problems in the world.
Probably could.
That's right.
I mean, we just talk them out, and we get these answers, you know.
One racist comment at a time.
And that, I think we should end on that, because we've definitely passed that hour mark.
Oh, great. Okay, guys, yeah.
I mean,
well, this was definitely a fun podcast, and more information about the, it's great to have Tip back. More information about the fan challenge will be coming up soon, because I want to be able to submit it formally on our blogspot.
Yeah, for sure.
Make sure that you do check that out. Sign up for our free email updates on our blogspot.
We'll get Twitter active. Be sure to hashtag us to get us trending.
Remember, 100 followers, and Patrick does something crazy.
Probably involving Tip. I'm just going to let you know now.
Oh, no.
I hope you like jalapenos. Anyway.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
See you later.